Hello, hello, my friends. I am Jenny Lin, and this is my show. I am a wife and mom of two crazy kiddos. I have struggled many years with chronic illness and pain. I have a passion to find out as much as I can while navigating through life not always feeling 100%. I have realized that having a positive mindset is a must in today's crazy world. You deserve to live this life showing up as your best self, and I can help you get there. If you've been feeling lost after becoming a mom, you're not alone. I know that incredible woman is still in there, just begging to be found. I am here to create a safe, non-judgmental space for like-minded women. Let's empower each other. I am so happy you're here. Now, let's jump into the 123 Mom Squad podcast with me, Jenny Lin. And welcome back to another episode of 123 Mom Squad with me, Jenny Lin. This is episode 19, y'all. And I just wanted to say thank you really to all my supporters out there. Thank you for listening and for being there and for being patient with me while I navigate this new chapter. And if you're new to the show, welcome aboard. I'm glad we found each other. So today's interview is with Andrea. She helps men and women achieve their best mental health and wellness beyond medications through functional medicine. She is a functional medicine specialist, behavioral health pharmacist, public speaker, and mentor. As the founder of Avena, she has worked with dozens of women and men to transform by decreasing overwhelm, anxiety, and balancing mood, increasing energy and focus, and improving nutrition. She does this by diving into the root cause of symptoms and overall health of an individual. She herself has struggled with motherhood, becoming a teenage mom at 15, ADHD, anxiety, and constantly feeling fatigued. She was able to transform her life, and she's passionate about helping others do the same. And now she is here talking to you, and I hope that you enjoyed this episode. It does help, and you love it. If you could share it with somebody, that would be amazing. I am really passionate about getting this word out there to the community, and I hope you'll help me. Thanks for being here. And now let's get to it. Hi, good afternoon, Andrea. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'd be better if it was not so rainy and gloomy in Buffalo, New York. Where are you calling from?
So I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico. So we are having some really nice days, some cold days, but very windy. But the sun is definitely popping out. So I am thankful.
Oh, that's nice. So everybody, Andrea helps men and women achieve their best mental health and wellness beyond medications through functional medicine. I spoke with Andrea actually probably about a month ago, and she has an amazing story to share with you all. So Andrea, why don't you tell us where you got started into the functional medicine practice?
Yeah, so I am a pharmacist by training. So I was in school to be a pharmacist, learned all about medications, and then was on my road to being a clinical pharmacist, which here in New Mexico is pretty much like a doctor, except you don't diagnose, but you prescribe all of the similarities. And through all of that, I myself struggled with handling my ADHD symptoms, my anxiety symptoms, overwhelm symptoms, fatigue, sleep, stress. And I felt like even though I was young and I should technically be okay, I was exhausted. I didn't know why. I thought I was eating healthy. I thought I was doing all the right things. And I was like, why can't I even keep up? And through all of this, I met some incredible people and they introduced me to functional medicine. So I went ahead and got my license doing that. And with functional medicine, it's a whole body approach. And so I fixed all of these crazy symptoms that I was feeling. And with that, I started to apply to my clients and my patients. So I work in psychiatric hospitals still as a pharmacist. And then I also do functional medicine and see clients as well. So blending the two, understanding medications and how they work in the body, along with understanding how rest, food, nutrition, everything else works in the body, just blends it all together beautifully.
Wow. How long were you suffering, did you have any chronic illnesses going on, or was it more like anxiety, depression, stuff like that?
So I remember back in college, in undergrad, and I would eat a meal and then go to my class and be falling asleep. And I thought, shoot, do I have diabetes? Like, what's happening? And I remember going to see a practitioner, getting my thyroid checked, getting, you know, my levels checked, and everything seemed normal. And even one time I gained like 20 pounds in a short amount of time. And the doctor was like, oh, it's for sure your thyroid, and tested it. Everything was normal. And I was like, this is crazy. And I was starting to get all of these food sensitivities and rashes. And I was like, what is going on? Along with that, my anxiety was sky high and I couldn't focus. I couldn't even go to the grocery store without it being a big ordeal. So it just came to a head with everything. And it all stemmed from what I was doing internally, which was pretty wild.
Now, and when you say internally, does that mean with the food that you're eating? What did you find was the main reason? What was attacking your body?
Yeah, so a lot of it was the food I was eating. I thought not eating dairy all the time, not eating meat, and eating the so-called healthy foods, the low fat or natural foods, was the right thing. And then I was also working out, doing these crazy like HIIT workouts and pushing myself, not sleeping and saying, okay, I need to not be lazy and wake up early and go to the gym. And all of that was stressing my body out. And I see a lot of that with my patients and clients, especially moms. They're like, oh, I just need to work out harder and I just need to eat less. And I'm like, no, you need, like, that's a recipe for disaster. Your body's already stressed out and it's just adding more to your load. So I think that's something that once I took those pieces out and focused on stress and meditation and trying to get sleep and being present and eating foods that weren't necessarily what the world was telling me to eat, that's when I started to see the healing.
Wow. You know, that's one thing that I've learned with talking with, you know, so many women within health and wellness and going beyond just seeing your doctors, is how important food is to our body, like whole food. But not only that, but how stress can be a trigger for everything in our body. Just, I think, just kind of goes, wreaks havoc on every organ. And I think that that's one thing that's so hard to do nowadays, because there's just so much, everything is just so negative and there's so much stress out there to begin with, and trying to figure out how to deal with it on a daily basis while trying to be a mom and do your thing. How do you relieve your stress besides like working out? You said meditation. What else do you practice?
Sure. So even what I found the best thing to do is to simplify, right? So there's all these things all over the internet and you can read all of these sorts of things, but the best thing is to be simple. Like, you know your body best, you know your mind. And sometimes if you're like, if I feel like I'm uneasy or something's going on, I take a minute and I say, okay, what's causing this? Have I gone outside today? And sometimes it's just a simple walking outside, feeling the light, just feeling the breeze and being like, okay, today is a good day. You know, it's just a simple little thing. And I don't think we allow ourselves to just enjoy okay, even if we make mistakes throughout the day. Like, being a mom, we're never perfect. We're always constantly thinking about ourselves, our kids, our family. And I think forgiving ourselves is a big step, and just being okay with the day. And I know that in the morning, I try not to look at my phone. I try not to think about my to-do list. And I just, first thing, I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, I have my body, I have my house, I have, you know, wonderful family and friends. And I try to start my day like that, something simple, and it can change everything. And I think also too, making sure we are eating, because we're so busy. And I think putting alarms in my phone, like, hey, have I had some water? Have I had a snack? And little things like that really add up.
Right. I can definitely agree with that. Setting a reminder in your phone is actually a pretty good, that's a pretty good tip, because I've actually started doing that
with simple workouts, like just to sit down and stretch maybe for 10 minutes, you know, or while you're watching TV, instead of sitting on the couch, just, you know, set reminders or set an alarm. That's a great tip too.
Yeah. And even simple things like you were saying, stretching, like putting your hands up or being in like that Superman or Superwoman pose and just standing there for a couple seconds actually is proven to decrease cortisol, our stress hormone, which is pretty amazing because I don't think before I knew about all this, I ever put my hands up or stretched or took a minute to do that. So it's so important. Little things, it's just a little daily choices, and we don't have to do everything at once. And I think that's hard too, is because sometimes we want to be healthy and we want to change everything and then we get even more stressed. But simple day by day steps make a difference. And I think too, letting yourself do something at least once a day that you enjoy, whether that's getting a cup of tea and just sitting there, whether it's watching your favorite TV show, whether it's, you know, reading your book, like something for you every day is so important. And finding rest in that, because we're allowed to do that. We need to do that. It's a need. It shouldn't be just a want.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's very important. You feel so guilty. The mom guilt gets really heavy when you feel that, oh, maybe I should make a really big home cooked meal tonight, or I need to take my kids to, you know, whatever. And, you know, I didn't get to take them to the zoo or the science museum over a spring break or whatever, but you feel that you have to do all of these things. And if you don't, then you're like a bad mom or something. Oh, I could be doing this with my kids. But sometimes just sitting and being and relaxing in your own space gives you peace of mind, because you don't get to do that all so often because you are running around and doing all the busy things, you know?
So, absolutely.
Yeah. You said you're a pharmacist first, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And then how long did you work in that profession before you decided to take the next step to become a functional medicine practitioner?
Yeah. So I'm still working in that space. Part-time, just because I still have patients that I see and I love, you know, I just love seeing them. But I was doing that for about in the psychiatric field for about 2.5 years. And then that's when I started to even realize with them, there's more than this. There's more than, like, a medication is a great tool, but there has to be so much more. And I think with COVID too, I saw a lot of people with overwhelm. And we weren't going outside. We weren't seeing friends. We weren't doing the things that make us happy. And we didn't have routine anymore if we worked from home. And then plus you have all your kids that are at home too. It was wild. So that pushed me even more to go into this. But I saw a lot of people go through some really hard things. And a lot of people felt shameful too. And it was sad to see, because there should never be shame in that. And a lot of people, I heard them say, I never thought I would be here. But anyone can be there. It's very easy to slip into there. And it doesn't mean that you're not strong. It doesn't mean that you're not capable. It just means that you need some support, and we all need support. But yeah, I think COVID opened that up for sure.
Yeah. And being aware of your mental state is just the beginning of the road, and just knowing where you're at is being strong. So you can move forward and, you know, take the necessary steps and get the support needed to help you get through that, you know, tough season in your life.
Let's take a quick break.
Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started.
Absolutely. And I always think about it too, like when our kids are little And we want them to ask questions to their teacher, right? So say if they're struggling, we're like, ask the question, it's okay. So that should mean it's okay for us to ask for a question, ask help. So I always try to think about it in that aspect and tell some of the patients that I see that it's totally okay. And sometimes we have to get outside of ourselves to see what's going on with our head, with our mind, all of those things too.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So do you speak with men and women? Do you do like a one-on-one coaching or do you do group coaching or what's the best, I guess, the best way that you interact with your patients?
Yeah, so I do one-on-one coaching. So I can see you one-on-one. I also do a la carte lab testing if you just want to see what's going on. I do that. And then I also do group coaching. So I'm actually going to be launching it April 1st. And the group coaching is really special because community is so important, just, you know, as we all know. And when you have that community and you hear other people going through things, it really helps. So usually my group coaching, it's like a reset and restore, and we'll measure your cortisol. We'll see where you're at and also go through a gentle detox too. And that's just my favorite type of thing to do is work in groups because I even learn so much from everybody else too.
That's awesome. I love group situations. Just had a question and it went out. And it's like this brain fog. And I try to, when I write things down, but then I feel like I'm not listening and I want to make sure I'm doing again, all the things. And so now I'm stressing myself out.
it's totally normal. Oh, I think it's so human for us to, you know, have that little brain fart or whatever, where we like, wait, what was it? I had something. It happens. I think it's just normal day-to-day life and everything else too.
Mm-hmm. Life gets you. So when you're feeling stressed, what is the first thing besides like trying to find a minute? Like what if you're in the grocery store and you're like overwhelmed because it's like packed and, you know, there's just a lot of noise going around and you have a sensory thing. What would you do in that moment for somebody who's just feeling really like in a panic type state?
Sure. Yeah. So, I do get sensitive to sounds. And I mean, I think a lot of people do more than we realize. And I always have, whether it's my earplugs or earphones in, that way, if it's getting overwhelming, I can put them in. And it's not even that I'm listening to anything. It's just kind of to help, or I'll have something to kind of squeeze in my hand, whether it's in my purse, whether it's a little stress ball, even a piece of cloth, like, you know, where to clean your eyeglasses. I've even used that at times because it's soft and you can feel it. Oh. So I'll kind of rub it in my hand and focus on that. But I always find that when you're going into situations and say you struggle with social anxiety or anxiety and you need to go to the grocery store, make a list and make sure, you know, you have it there, because sometimes we can go in and even on a normal basis, forget what you need or get freaked out and try to just rush. But I think trying to have a list, have a plan, and try to go when it's not so busy. But I always try to have tools with me to help with that.
Those are some very good suggestions.
It could be just some people are more prone to be sensitive and it causing anxiety too. I know, for example, like with the hearing and everything, sometimes people tend to clench their jaw or almost shake too. So sometimes having like gum or a mint, something to suck on, and that kind of relieves also the ear canal pressure too, if you're sucking on something. But it's very interesting. And I think a lot more people are sensitive to sounds and smells and colors than we realize. And I think now we're starting to open the door to that and dive in why. Okay, what's causing this?
Right. So as you kind of dig deeper and then you realize how many people, I mean, even like the fluorescent lights when you're in a store kind of can give off like this high-pitched buzz. It's strange how the scent, you know, your sensory kind of perception changes in different environments. So I'm interested, what do you do on your free time?
Yeah. So I have a son, he's 13 years old. So him and I try to do whatever we can to be outside. So we love to go hiking. We love to just talk. He's a chatterbox. And since I have ADHD, it takes a lot of intentionality to sit there and listen. And so usually I'll take notes while he's talking or scribble. And then I'm really paying attention. And I just love to get to know him. So that's one of my favorite things. Because as you know, you have a 13-year-old and it's like, they're not babies. They're not like they're teenagers, but they're turning into their little selves. Like they're turning into adults. They have these really, really cool ways of thinking and what they like and what they don't like. And it's a fun age. So I like to do that. Anything outside or traveling. And then of course I love to shop, but a lot of it's window shopping now, you know, just right. Kind of on the internet, like, oh, this is cool. This is cool. So, and I'm always looking at recipes and I try to cook, but I also, it depends on my energy level. If I know it's too much, I don't attempt it, but I'm like, oh, that looks nice. So right, yeah. Nice.
And then yeah, it's like, 45 minutes later, you're like, oh crap. I don't got that kind of time exactly. To put that recipe together.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll see these really beautiful, or even, you know, the Food Channel. I love to watch the Food Channel and things look so wonderful. I'm like, I could do that, but do I want to do that? Probably not. So yeah.
Now, is your son open to a lot of like different recipes that you try?
He is. So growing up when he was younger, so I had him very young. I had him when I was 15 years old. So we didn't have a lot. And he grew up with the mindset of, this is what we have, at least try it. If you don't like it, that's okay. You can tell me, but this is what we have to eat. And so when he was little, he always knew, okay, I just have to try it. And if it's absolutely horrible, like, you know, I don't have to eat it, but he grew up trying, you know, because we'd always get like the clearance vegetables, clearance fruits. And I always tried to get him something different if I could. So now he's open to trying things, but he definitely has his favorites. Definitely. And even though I'm all about, you know, healthy eating and all this stuff, he loves fast food, just like any other, you know, kid does. But he's open to try it. Not, you know, he might not love it, might not eat it again. And we're at a space now where he's comfortable saying, Mom, this wasn't my favorite thing. I don't think I'll ever eat it again, but thank you. You know, so I'm like, okay, great. I will not make that again, you know? So at least there's that sort of,
level of communication. Well, at least he lets you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, thanks for telling me and, you know, and I'd rather have that than like, oh my gosh. But so it's been fun. And sometimes I try to be like, okay, what do you think about this recipe? Or what do you think about this? And, you know, I can tell if he's into it or not, but it's always fun.
Sounds like you have a great relationship with him. So that's important. You know, it is, that's definitely a hard age too. You know, they have to pull away a little bit to develop their own personality and become their own little human. And it is kind of cool to see, because, you know, you're almost creating like this best friend, you know, that you can talk to, but they're also such a big part of you. It is kind of cool to see, but it's hard. It's very, very difficult, especially when
you're close
sometimes, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And then the hormones too. That's another thing I have to remind myself, like, okay, it may not be me. He's just grumpy because he's grumpy and it's okay. You know, I have to remember, right, like, it's not my fault. And I think as moms, we're always like, what did I do? Or why are they, you know, being like this? But it's all those hormones too. And we were all there once as well. And it's hard. It can be hard for sure.
Yeah. We just got to get through day by day and just hope that we make it through alive.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think too, like, you know, I want, you know, even the motivation with teenagers can be hard too. Mm. And I remember myself, I'm like, all right, I wasn't motivated unless I absolutely wanted to do it. And so that's always tricky, is figuring out what sort of balance you have with that. Cause when they're little, you can have a reward system or whatever works with your family, but as they get older, it's different. That's always a challenge as well. But then you can be proud of them when they get it done.
That's right. And then watching them make certain choices that you know that you've instilled some sort of choice in that matter, and they made the better choice. And you're like, oh yeah, I know that they were actually listening when maybe they weren't.
Yes, that was me.
Right.
Yeah. And since I had like my son so much sooner than all of my friends, they would always be like, well, how do you get him to do X, Y, Z? And I'm like, honestly, it starts from when they're little and you have to try to be strong. And even though sometimes you may want to give up, like you just have to try to stay as consistent as you can. And it's hard. Like I always tell Aiden, I said, if I didn't love you and I didn't care enough, I would let you do whatever you wanted because that would be easier. But I love you, so I have to discipline you or do whatever. And it's hard for me too. And I think that's something that you start to see as they get to this age, like you were saying, where you're like, oh, good job, past me. Like it might have worked.
Well, then sleepless nights, and it's every two, I feel like it's a whole different person that kind of shines through. And then you're through another stage and then you're into another one. And it's just this constant domino effect of like, oh my gosh, what is this season going to bring me now? You know?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So when somebody says, what does a functional medicine specialist actually do?
Sure. So with functional medicine, it dives down into the root cause of things versus the symptoms. So usually at your conventional medicine doctor, you'll go see, and you may be saying, oh, you know, I've been having some anxiety, or I've been having some digestion issues. And usually they'll treat that one thing, and it's kind of almost compartmentalized. And the labs that you get at a regular doctor, conventional medicine, usually there has to be something to trigger that to be ordered. So you have to have something going on in order to test for whatever. And with functional medicine, we look at everything as a whole. And so it's way more in depth. Looking at symptoms that you may not even think are symptoms that you could have been experiencing, and then looking at labs that are comprehensive and fixing things all together. So for example, if I'm helping somebody work through their anxiety and their fatigue and their energy, usually other things fall into place as that's getting better. So stubborn weight comes off, their headaches go away, they're sleeping better, they're able to digest food better. They're able to eat foods that they didn't think they were able to eat ever again. So it all blends together. So that's the difference between the two. And usually the labs that I order are a little bit more in depth and look at some more things than just your normal conventional medicine labs. And you can see me for like an hour versus 15 minutes.
15 minutes at a time, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know you always feel rushed and hurried when you're in a doctor's visit and they're like, okay. Yep. Let's try this. Oh my gosh. Yeah. They're quick to put you on a medication, you know, and I feel like it's just a band-aid that covers your symptoms up, but can we please get to the root cause of why somebody is feeling like that? I can imagine that you probably see most of your patients that come into you that they're tired and feeling stressed, and which is like a symptom of like everything seems nowadays, chronic fatigue and, you know, or joint pain and inflammation or brain fog. I think brain fog has become like this big thing. And I don't know if it's maybe my age or just the overwhelmingness of everything that's going on in the world, you know, and just trying to manage everything. Taking it day by day or hour by hour, however you have to do that. So let's say somebody comes to you with the chronic fatigue and a brain fog and maybe has some stiffness in their hands and their knees or something. What's the biggest factor that would cause that?
Sure. And as you stated it earlier, the most common thing is inflammation. Inflammation is what causes a majority, if not every disease that we have. And I think it's pretty wild because we have all of these specific names for all these diseases and all these things, but it all comes down to inflammation. And it's pretty wild because we're going to have inflammation from time to time. Our bodies are built to handle that, but we put more inflammation when we're stressed with what we're eating, what we're drinking, what we're seeing, what we're doing, and that causes even more inflammation. And if you look at all of these studies, all of these diseases or these symptoms are linked back to inflammation of your body, of your brain. And usually if I'm seeing somebody, I try to get a full feel of what else they may be experiencing and then what they're doing day to day, how they're living. And there's some pretty big key factors in that too. And I think a lot of people, people are smart. You can go online, you can learn a lot. But sometimes people are taking probiotics when that might be harming them, or they're taking all these supplements that may be harming them. And it all goes back to being simple and just seeing what your body needs. And a lot of it is stuff that we can do ourselves. And we don't need necessarily all these supplements. We just need to see what we need and be eating it. And it's just a big, it's like a detective, right? It's like you're trying to figure out what's causing it, but it always leads back to inflammation. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. I think, and a lot of chronic immune issues stem from inflammation in the body. And they mm-hmm. all, I feel like they all kind of overlap to some degree. You know, like if you have RA, you might have fibro, or if you've got fibro, you may have lupus. And I feel like they're kind of all stacked on top of each other. And they're all just, there's really no specific lab work to test for any type of immune problem. It's just a process of elimination. So you never really know, like if a doctor says, well, hey, you have lupus. Okay, well, is that the truth? Or is there just something else going on that, you know, you're just guessing, really, you're just taking an educated guess. Let's recheck your blood work in 6 months. And let's do this. I definitely agree with like going deeper in depth with lab work. I think that doing, you know, the bare minimum sometimes is just the tip of the iceberg. And I think you have to dig deeper. But then you're always, these insurance companies, you're dealing with them, and they don't want to take step two, because in order to take step two, you have to go through step one. And then at that point, who knows how much time has passed, and you're talking years and years of just going, you know, going through the motions, and you're still not getting anywhere. You're just treading the water, just simply making it through the years because you don't know any better. And you're trusting your healthcare provider that they've got your health in their hands. You're at the, you know, mercy of them. And it's scary. It's kind of sad that like a lot of people want to get into the healthcare, the healthcare just to help people. But I think in the long run, a lot of times it kind of backfires and you're at the mercy of, you know, just laws and rules and regulations and doing things by the book. And now you see so many people like yourself, you know, just kind of pulling away a little bit because you got to do things that are not by the book and doing it differently to actually get to the root of the problem and not just treating the symptoms with a medication.
Absolutely. And I see a lot of people where their labs are normal at a doctor, and I'll see their labs and I'm like, okay, this may be normal in their standpoint, but it's not normal. Like your labs are off and it's not okay. Like there's something going on, you know, and they're humans too. And they have a short amount of time to see you. You have to be your own advocate and ask questions. And even if you don't have a medical background, you're your own background. Like, you know, your body. And it is sad. And I'm seeing a lot of insurance and medication, like everything that I've seen, it's about money, unfortunately. A lot of the time with insurance companies, and a lot of the people that are in insurance companies aren't from a medical background. And I've seen people who are doing so great, who have diabetes and they're on these particular medications or they have the Dexcom, which helps them read their insulin and gives them insulin and all of these pumps, and they're doing great. But because they're doing so great, insurance changes their mind and, oh, we're not going to pay for this then because you don't need it. And it's so backwards to me because these people are getting better and they're doing all the right things, but then they're getting dropped. So it's And it's very alarming. And I think a lot of people are starting to realize that, like you said, they're done and they want to get to real answers and not just a Band-Aid and okay, here you go. We'll see you later. You'll be okay. You look healthy, so you must be healthy type of thing.
Right. Yeah. Just being kind of just being another number. It's your life, you know, I mean, it's your life and you have to step up and use your voice to either, hey, I'm not going away. I need some real answers from you. I'm here and let me show you what I found. And then you get a receptionist or whomever just answers the phone. And well, the first thing we tell our patients is not to Google their symptoms. Well, Google is out there. Everything is out there, but there's also a lot of valuable research out there. You just have to go to the trusted sites and you're going to find real answers, not just garbage answers or people who are guessing. So just know where you're looking, but and don't be that person that shrugs off everything. Don't be that person either, because if you know that if it's different for your body, then something else is going on. You know, most likely something else is happening.
Absolutely. That critical thinking is so important. And I think too, like it's starting to change where we realize, okay, internet, just because it's on the internet, that doesn't mean that it's true. So let me just see who this person is or see what's going on or see if other people have experienced this. Like even chat forums too can be helpful. But yeah, it's pretty amazing that we have the internet and it is a tool. And I think we should use it, but also not get overwhelmed either. As long as we're using it healthy, but it's there for us to learn. And like, I love it when I see someone and they know about their body. They know about this, they know about this. And, you know, then since they're so in tune with themselves, we can dive down into it, you know, and you can really see what's going on and get to the root of the problem. But yeah, that critical thinking is so, so important. And I've seen so many people that or patients where they were on the brink of diabetes or struggling with their adrenals and their thyroid. And this was in conventional medicine. And they said, okay. And the thing was, if they could either be put on this medication or they could try to work on their diet by themselves. And this particular population, most of them said, I'm going to try to work on it. And so many of them reverse their pre-diabetes and their health was so amazing within just 3 to 6 months. They didn't need medication at all. Like they were so healthy and vibrant and glowing, and men and women. And it just goes to show that you can do so many things. And it's just awesome to see people who can empower themselves and do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be your own advocate and be your advocate for your family and your loved ones and your friends, and support each other. When you know that your girlfriend is giving you a short text and doesn't seem like themselves, you know, and reach out to them and make sure you're there for each other, because you never know. And a lot of people are afraid to do that because they don't want to be a burden, because, oh, she's got a lot going on, so I don't want to say anything. But sometimes you got to pry a little bit, you know, get in there, because we all need support. And just because somebody says, I'm fine, I'm okay, doesn't mean that they're truly okay.
So absolutely.
Well, Andrea, I think we are coming close to the end of our conversation. So why don't you tell the audience where they can find you?
Sure. So the best place would be on my website. So it's Avena Health, AVENA health.online. And then I am also on Instagram and Facebook at drandrea.bustamante. So both of those places, I'm always on there teaching. I love to get to know people. So yeah.
Well, fantastic. I'll put them in the show notes so everybody doesn't have to try and figure out how to spell all them.
I know my name, my last name especially. I'm like, oh gosh.
That's a tricky one. Yep.
Yes.
It's all good. So where did you come up with, or what does Avena Health, does that mean something?
So it does actually. So so oatmeal in Spanish, and then oatmeal is just something that growing up, it's like a comfort food type of thing. It's all together. It's just like warming, it's filling. So it just kind of morphed into Avena Health just for something that means a place of comfort, togetherness, all together, that type of thing. So yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Yeah. Thank you. I really love that. Awesome. All right. So I have two last questions for you that I've been asking everybody. So if you could go back to any point in your life, it could be childhood or grade school or high school or now, which would you pick and why?
So I would probably pick, I would say a little bit after I had my son, probably when he was about a year old. So I was in high school and I would just tell myself it's going to be okay and to just breathe and not worry about what other people think. I think that's what I would say and give myself, you know, a hug. I think we all want to give our past selves a hug.
Absolutely. That's very important. Beautiful. And what advice, if you could give anybody out there that is maybe struggling from any type of chronic illness, mental health illness, do you have any advice for them?
Sure. So something that I always try to tell people and even remember myself is, so comparison is a thief of joy, right? And we know that it's toxic to compare ourselves to other people, but don't even compare your now journey to the journey that was in your past or your future. Just focus. Because sometimes we can think, oh, I was doing so good this time, like last time, why am I not doing good this time? But we need to just stop comparing and just give ourselves a space to say, it's okay. I'm allowed to feel this way. It's going to be a journey, but this is my chapter right now. So that's what I would share.
That's a beautiful point. Absolutely. All right, girl. Well, thank you. It was great to talk to you again. I really appreciate it. And I will link everything up for you. So I hope that you all found this very helpful and I enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Jenny. It's such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. Pleasure's all mine. We'll talk to you soon, Andrea. Take care. Sounds good. All right. Hi friends, let me take a quick minute and thank our very first show sponsor. If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is totally free. It's so easy, even I can do it. Trust me, that means you can do it too. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Thank you all for being here. I am so glad we found each other. See you next time. Have an incredible day, my beautiful friends.